Okay. Excuse me. Good morning. I'm Japanese. Okay. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mia Palmter. I'm originally from Japan. My husband, Mike, and I have been coming to this church since last August. I have to apologize first for my English, and if it sounds like I'm reading, which I'm going to do, I have to apologize that. Okay, so a few weeks ago, Pastor Dave asked me if I would like to share something with you today. He mentioned that it should tie in with recent sermon on how we can build God's kingdom locally. Well, to be honest with you, when he asked me, I was really surprised, nervous, but also excited. I felt like, yay, I can share my heart. So I'm not sure if what I say is totally related to that, but I believe that the experiences God has allowed me to have, good and bad, can be used for His glory. Before I get to what I'm involved in now at Crisis Pregnancy Center, I'd like to give you a little background on who I am and now how I got here. Okay, relax. Okay, here you go. Okay, so I was born into a family with a Christian background. My grandparents were Christian, and my dad had grown up in church, but he never put any pressure on my sisters and I to become Christians. Although I sometimes went to church with my dad, I wasn't really Christian, really believer. Like most Japanese, I went to a Shinto shrine for New Year's, honored my dead relatives at the Buddhist temple in summer, but also went to church to celebrate Christmas. As a teenager, I was very selfish, irresponsible, and proud. I didn't need God and just wanted to enjoy my life. In August 1997, at the age of 19, I found out that I was pregnant. I couldn't tell my family for fear of how they would react, and there was no one I could turn to. My boyfriend at the time was preparing to move far from my hometown, Kobe, with no intention of coming back. He told me to just do my best and left. I cried every day. I didn't know what to do. I was first-year fashion institute student living at home and still very dependent on my parents. Suddenly, I was faced with the biggest decision of my life, but didn't have the courage to choose. I really couldn't believe what had happened to my life. I was so angry at God. Why me? Why not one of my friends? They do far worse than me. Why am I being punished like this? I cried and cried. In the end, under doctor's advice, I had an abortion. I had lived irresponsibly and selfishly and had taken a precious life. I couldn't believe what I've done. I really hated myself. After that, I was pretty miserable. I partied, smoked, drank heavily, and treated myself badly. I hated being around my friends because their lives looked much easier and happier than mine. I hated the people around me, myself, and God. I managed to finish school, get a job, and carry on living a pretty normal life. But inside me, all was darkness, anger, and sorrow. In early 2002, I asked a Christian friend if I could go with him to his church. When the pastor started to preach, I felt like he was looking right at me and said, "Someone in this room has been blaming themselves for something and hates their life because of what they've done. You don't have to blame yourself anymore because God's already forgiven you. God knew about what you've done even before you did it. And that's why Jesus died on the cross for you." I couldn't believe it. God talked to me directly through the pastor. It was like lightning striking my heart. It had been almost 5 years since the abortion. I had been hiding the scar deep, deep inside me and had tried to forget about it. But God says, "You have to deal with this, Mia." I couldn't stop crying. While everyone around me was singing words of praise to him, his love poured into my heart. God loved even me. God drew me to church every Sunday after that, where I felt his hand healing me and giving me peace little by little. Later that year, a youth group came from our sister church in Hawaii. As I entered the room that evening, the visiting youth pastor walked up to me and asked if he could pray for me. I thought it was kind of weird since he didn't know me. But what he prayed for me was exactly what I needed. Before he left, he gave me Philippians 3:13 and 14. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I spent the next few years being discipled, studying his word, praying, and generally getting to know Jesus better. Finally, in April of 2004, I was baptized at the Kobe Bible Fellowship. Also this spring, an old friend of mine came back to Japan for a little bit. Michael and I had been friends for 7 years, but now something different was happening. We seriously started to talk about us getting together and felt that it was coming from God. But there was a big problem. For us to have a relationship, I knew I had to tell him about the abortion. So the day before he left again for Canada, I told him that I had the secret I needed him to know before we made a big decision. He said that he also had a secret and offered to go first if it would make it easier for me. But I was sure that it couldn't be as bad as mine. So we prayed together and asked God to give me strength to tell him the truth. When I finally told him that evening, we both cried. Mike put his hand on my shoulder and said, "That's okay. That's okay, Mia." In that moment, I felt like it wasn't Mike, but God who comforted me. At last, I had sincerely confessed my sin before God. Then Mike asked if he could tell me his secret. He told me that somehow he had already known my secret for years. Then I had a vision. I saw a straight, white road ahead of us. There was nothing on the road, not even one speck of dust. I knew that from then on, we are going to work together in God's will. And I felt lighter than ever before. That was the moment when God completed the healing he had started in me a few years earlier. I'll never forget what I did in the past, but I now believe that God wants to use it to speak to others who are hurt and broken like I once was. Okay, so what does this have to do with the topic that Pastor Dave has been preaching on? Hey? Just hang in there, and we'll get to it. So when Mike and I got married in 2004, he was working at White Rock Christian Academy as their ESL program director. Since Mike's students were Japanese, we felt it was an opportunity that God had created for me to come alongside and help. Over the next 4 years, I spent time getting to know each class, helping them adjust to adjust to living in Canada, counseling them through problems. And yeah, there are a lot of problems they had. So sharing God's love with them and basically being a big sister. At the end of the first year, I decided to share with the girls in the class the story of my mistake when I was 19. Since they are nearly the same age, and I thought it might help them. No one had ever talked to me about such things. There was no one there to stop me from having an abortion. No one to explain what it really meant and the lasting effect it would have. After I shared, one girl told me that she had already had an abortion before coming to Canada. She was only 15 years old. We prayed together and asked God's forgiveness. After that, I had a girls' night every year to share my testimony and to let them know how precious they are and how much God loves them. Although I always had a heart to help the voiceless and weak one day, I had no idea if God could or even would use me for that until I had been in Canada a few years. Now here I was telling my story to these young women, and it was having an impact on them. I was also invited to share my story at the ladies' conference at our church around this time. Afterward, one lady encouraged me with this scripture, Isaiah 61:1-3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. That was really the confirmation God gave me. During this time, I often read dreadful news from Japan of young women in distress having babies secretly and abandon them, or even worse, killing them with their own hands. I cried and asked God, why is this happening? Why do you allow this, God? I'm so sad and feel useless, Lord. Then I came across these verses in Jeremiah. Chapter 7, verse 19 says, but am I the one they are provoking? Declares the Lord. Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? And chapter 14, verse 17 says, let my eyes overflow with tears, night and day without ceasing, for my virgin daughter, my people, has suffered a grievous wound, a crushing blow. I was very surprised to this. God was crying with me for His people. God actually sees what we see and cries for His people. So I asked, God, what can we do? I began to realize the great need in my homeland. I felt God putting a burden on my heart to help change attitudes, give support to young women, and speak up for the voiceless thousands die in Japan. I can't read. So I've a friend who knew my heart. Thank you. She pushed the final push I needed. Since I'm a bit shy and not always sure about my English. And so I applied to volunteer at the Crisis Pregnancy Center in Surrey to learn how it operates. Soon after I got involved, the Surrey director asked if I wanted to meet the Vancouver director because she was scheduled to go to Japan to do a post-abortion counseling seminar. I felt that it was definitely from God. When I met Noma, we realized that we had the same passion for Japan and East Asia. Then she told me that date she was planning to be in Japan, and what do you know? I was going to be in Japan at the same time. Then she told me she would be in Nagoya, and I was stunned. It had to be from God, because I was going to be in the same city. So she asked me if I could do a little translation work for her and if I would be willing to meet up with her in Nagoya, which is exactly what I did. Once we were back in Canada, I stayed in touch with Noma and I attended some training sessions and workshops. I really enjoyed talking with Noma and was very excited about the passion God had placed inside me. That was really beginning to take shape. When Mike and I moved into this area from White Rock last summer, I was pleased because it meant I could get more involved at the Crisis Pregnancy Center. We were very happy with the way God has provided for us as we started this new adventure in the big city. He had prepared a place for us to live for very reasonable rent. He gave Mike an income until the end of August, even though he was basically done working at the school 6 weeks earlier. And a number of other little miracles that made us feel like God was in control every step of the way. Mike had quit his job, and he was going back to school full-time at SFU, and I was going to work and volunteer. However, the job God provided me at the Japanese tour company was only short-term. The contract ended in mid-October, and there was nothing going on after that. We prayed and asked God what was next, and we both felt strongly that I should just volunteer full-time at the center until the end of December. We committed ourselves to waiting on God to show us the way. So here it is March, and I'm still volunteering at Crisis Pregnancy Center. Getting here has been an interesting and amazing journey. Looking back at the last 4.5 years since I came to Canada, I see how God has prepared me in many ways to work at the center. And although it began with my desire to reach out to young women in Japan, God has put me here and has given me the opportunity to serve in this community right now. And that's where this whole story begins to tie in with the message we've heard recently. God is building his kingdom in so many different ways and areas, and we are privileged to have a chance to be a part of it. Sometimes we feel a calling or have a particular vision and we move in that direction in faith. But then perhaps things don't necessarily go the way we hoped, planned, or expected. We can respond it by feeling disappointed, confused, or even a little angry at God. Or we can say, that's okay. I trust God and believe that he knows what he's doing. And if we simply allow him to work in us and through us, we can make a difference in the world. But we have to learn to recognize where he is working and we have to be willing to join Him in that work. Now let me explain a little bit about the work at the Crisis Pregnancy Center and my part in it. Some of you I know are quite familiar with the CPC, and others of you probably know a thing or two about it. We provide emotional and practical support to women in the community who are in distress due to unplanned pregnancies, as well as practical support to women in financial need during and after their pregnancy. Some of the services we provide include free pregnancy tests, prenatal and childbirth classes, and most importantly, options counseling for those who are considering abortion. Many of the women who come to us are faced with the hardest decision they've ever had to make, and we try to help them understand the value of that precious life within them. Every day we come into contact with people from the community. We get desperate phone calls from people with questions about pregnancy and abortion. Walk-in clients, often students, come to us to do pregnancy tests. Single mom on income assistance drop in to pick up their monthly supply of diapers. Pregnant women in abusive relationship come for emotional support. And women who have experienced abortion come for healing. Every day, the hurt, the broken, and the lost. We also get happy visits from mom with newborns. Or people bring in donations like baby clothes, food, diapers, and toys. One sweet elderly couple in particular comes every few months to drop off 7 or 8 garbage bags of used baby clothes. They buy up all the clothing they can find at used store like Value Village or Salvation Army. She brings all the clothes home, wash, iron, fold each pieces, and bringing them all to us. Whenever they come to the center, I just can't imagine that she lovingly walking through the huge pile of clothes on her ironing board and the sense of joy that she has. She feels in serving God this way. Quite a number of our clients are teenagers facing unplanned pregnancies or STDs. We see the negative result on people influenced by society through the media like internet, movies, TVs, magazines, and so on. Also, the pressure they got from their peers and others around them. We see that there is a tremendous need out there for young people to hear an alternate message regarding sexuality. So we've started a sexual integrity program with me as their coordinator. Starting in April, we are taking the message of abstinence into Vancouver Public School to let students know how they can really protect themselves from disease and unplanned pregnancy, and how truly special they are and valuable they are. This is amazing since so many people out there are really against abstinence education. Why is that? Is it because the idea of abstinence seems unrealistic? Because it sounds too religious? Or because society is just generally that corrupt? Maybe. But whatever it is, people have rejected God's goodness and are searching for something to replace it. Many teenagers are looking for love in the wrong places. They are trying to fill up their loneliness and emptiness with anything they can find. But it's just not enough. People out there need to know the truth. Many actually won't hear that there is hope. I know there is hope. And I know there is a light. I saw that wonderful light in 2002. I experienced God's love, and He rescued me from the darkness. Jesus is the light, and Jesus is in me. Luke chapter 11:33 says, "No one, when he has lit the lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand." We shouldn't just ignore the suffering in the world around us. We shouldn't hide His light. People need to experience God's love. He cares for His children. How else are they going to know His love except through us? So how can I contribute to the building of God's kingdom locally? I believe I am a brick that He can use. God is the master builder. He holds the tools and plans and knows what He's building. He knows what it's supposed to look like when it's finished. He knows exactly how to build it and what materials to use. Perhaps some of you aren't sure what you have to offer God, or if what you're doing with the life He's given you is fulfilling His purposes. Maybe you feel that you are not good enough, too young or too old, or not ready to be used yet. But all you really need is the willingness to allow Him to use you when you are where you are right now. Let Him place you wherever He wants and allow Him to build His kingdom with you by serving the people He brings into your life each day. God chooses us all to be bricks for His kingdom. But we must commit ourselves every day to trusting Him and serving Him. See, like, every step I took, God gave me scripture to encourage me and support me so that I could get through. So I believe that you all just listen to God and believe that the step that you're taking has come from God.